Shalom to all. In today's afternoon, Mishnah, we're going to learn Masechas Midos, Perek Dal Mishnah Hey, all the way through to the end of the Masechta, and onto the brand new Masechta, Masechas Kinim, all the way through Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. Onto Mishnah Hey, we continue to describe this. Umasiba, Haisa Oilemi Karen Mizrachas Tzfanis, Lakaren Tzfanis Maraves. There was a Masiba, which was a winding walkway that went from the northeastern corner to the northwestern corner. Shaba Hayu Oilem Lagagas HaTayim. This is how they would get to the roof of these chambers, of these Tayim. There was this walkway that went around the outside. Oh, wait, actually, I had already mentioned this Masiba before. Remember when we spoke about all the openings in between the different Tayim? There was one of them, namely the northeastern one, that's the first one on the right-hand side, that had an entrance to the Masiba. From there, you would go to this ramp, and then walk all the way up and around the ramp to the top of where these Tayim were. So that's what the Mishnah describes in great detail right now. As he was going up this Masiba, this walkway, he's facing west, which is the back of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's walking along the entire north side. That means to the left of him is the rightmost wall, the Tzafon wall of the Heichal. Ad shumagil amayriv, that's until he gets to the west, until he gets to the back wall. Then gil amayriv, once he gets to the west, v'hafach l'panav l'darim, then he turns his face to south, meaning he turns his face to the left. Then he'll call p'nei mayriv, ad shumagil l'darim. Now he walks along the entire western wall, which is basically behind the Kodesh Kedashim, until he reaches the south. And then gil l'darim, once he reaches the south, v'hafach l'panav l'mizrach, then he turns his face to east, which means he's turning his face back towards the front of the Beis HaMikdash, and Hoymalch Bedarim, he walks along the left, the south, Achu Magil Pischa Shal Aliyah, until he reaches the entrance of the Aliyah, Shepischa Shal Aliyah, Pesuach Bedarim. That entrance of the Aliyah was open to the south. This Aliyah was the upper story, the upper level of the Heichal, because as we're going to soon see, the Heichal was 100 amas tall and was divided into two levels, so the entrance to the upper level was his Pesach that we just mentioned now. And with Pischa Shal Aliyah, at this entrance to the Aliyah, Hayu Shtei Klon Tzor Shal Erez, there were two beams of cedarwood, Shebehen Hayu Oilem Lagaga Shal Aliyah, those were used to climb on to get to the roof of the Aliyah. It was basically a ladder. They brought one all the way to the top of the building, the Heichal, and Varashay Pispasin Mavdilin Baliyah, Ben Kaidish, Ben Kaidish Kedashim. There was also tips of beams. They were demarcating in the Aliyah itself, in between where the Kaidish and the Kaidish Kedashim was, because remember, the first floor is the Heichal and the Kaidish Kedashim, or the Kaidish and the Kaidish Kedashim. So in the upper level, that second floor, there also had to be a very clear difference between where above the Kaidish and above the Kaidish Kedashim were. Now, Velulin Hayu Psuchim Baliyah, the Beis Kaidish Kedashim, there were hatches or little openings from this Aliyah, from this upper level, into the Kodesh Kedashim itself. That's how they would lower craftsmen in boxes, so they don't feast their eyes on the Kodesh Kedashim. Sometimes repairs were needed, but obviously no one's allowed in the Kodesh Kedashim. You can't just go in there. Even the Kohen Gadol was only allowed once a year. So how do they make repairs? They would lower craftsmen and repairmen in a box. This box is open only on one side, so that way they weren't able to see the Kodesh Kedashim. They would be lowered through this hatch, through this opening. They would only be exposed to one section of a wall right in front of them. They would do whatever they needed, and then they were lifted right up through it. So that's what these hatches were for. And we're discussing the building of the Heichal. So the Mishnah tells us, V'Heichal Me'a Al Me'a, the Heichal was 100 by 100 amas, that's 100 amas wide by 100 amas long, Al Rom Me'a, and 100 amas tall. Now how do we account for all these amas of height? So Ha'item, Sheish Amas, the Ha'item, which literally means that which seals off. That was 6 amas. That was basically the foundation, if you will. That was 6 amas high. Then V'Gavai Arboim Amah, the next height of the wall was 40 amas. Then Amah Kiyur, there was another Amah jutting out of the wall, which was Kiyur, not a Kiyar, which is a sink. Kiyur means decoration. It was basically a thick beam running all the way across the wall. It was jutting out an Amah. It was decorated very beautifully. Then V'Amah Sayim Beis Dilfa, there was another 2 Amahs of Beis Dilfa, which is basically a connecting structure. These were thin, flat boards that were turned upwards, that were 2 Amahs high, and these were used as a ceiling or the floor supports. Then Va'ama Tikra, another Amah thickness of the Tikra of the ceiling itself. Va'ama Maziva, and another Amah that was the flooring of the upper level of the Heichal. And everything we just mentioned now accounted for 5 Amahs. Then V'Gaiva Sha'aliyah Arbaim Amah, the height of the Aliyah of the upper level, that was also 40 Amahs. Then once again, we had Va'ama Kiyur, Va'ama Sayim Beis Dilfa, Va'ama Tikra, Va'ama Maziva. So that's another 5 Amahs. V'Shalish Amahs Makeh. Then on top of the building, there was a 3 Amahs of a fence around it, Va'ama Kala Oirev, and another Amah of Kala Oirev, which is loosely translated as a crow chaser. Kala means to either destroy or get rid of. It's basically a very sharp pointed metal plate that made sure that birds didn't rest on the top and dirty the building, and that's a total of 100 Amahs height. Now Rabbi Huda says, Laya Kala Oirev Oila Min Amidah. The Kala Oirev wasn't counted as part of the Midah. Ella Arba Amahs Hayamakeh. The 100 Amahs ended off at a 4 Amah Amah Makeh, a 4-amah fence that went around the top of the Heichal. We continue discussing now the length and the width. That was just the height. So here we have the length and the width. Mea Mizrach L'mayrav Mea Amah, from east to west, which is basically from front to back. That's 100 amas. So how does that chashben out? Kaisal Ulam Chamesh. The front wall of the Ulam was 5 amas. V'ulam Acharosar, then the Ulam itself was 11 amas. Kaisal Heichal Shesh. The front wall of the Heichal was 6 amas thick. Then V'soich Harboim Amah. The inside of the Heichal was 40 amas. Then Amah Traxin. There's an Amah Traxin, which in the first base of Mikdash was a real wall dividing the Kaddish and the Kaddish Kedashim. In the second base of Mikdash, it was two curtains that were spaced an Amah apart. Then V'Esrim Amah Beis Kaddish Kedashim. 20 amas was the Kaddish Kedashim. Then Kaisal HaHeichal Sheish, the back wall of the Heichal, meaning behind the Kaddish Kedashim. That was a 6 Amah wall. And V'Ata Sheish, the chambers behind them, were 6 amas. And V'Kaisal HaTa Chamesh, the outer wall of the Ta, which is the outer wall of the Heichal, that was 5 amas. So that's the entire length. Now, Menat Safa in Ladarim, Shevim Amah, from the north to the south, meaning from the outside of the right wall to the outside of the left wall of the Heichal, that was 70 amas. Kaisal HaMasiba Chamesh, the outer wall of the Masiba, which again was this walkway that went around the outside of these chambers, so that wall itself was 5 amas. VaMasiba Shalosh, the walkway itself was 3 amas. Kaisal HaTa Chamesh, then the outer wall of these chambers was 5 amas. VaHata Shesh, the average chamber was 6 amas. Kaisal HaHeichal Shesh, then the Tzafa in the north wall of the Heichal itself was 6 amas thick. VaTaycha Esrim Amah, the width of the Heichal measured 20 amas. Kaisal HaHeichal Shesh, the south or the left wall of the Heichal was also 6 amas wide. VaHata Shesh, once again the chamber on the left side was 6 amas. VaKaisal HaTa Chamesh, and the outer wall of those chambers was 5. Now we have something we did not yet mention. Ubeis HaRadas HaMayim, the area where the water went down, that was 3 amas wide. This is basically the drainage area, if you will, where all the water came from the top of the Heichal building. It would drain into there, so that was 3 amas wide. That matches up with the 3 amas of the walkway on the other side. And VaKaisal Chamesh Amas, the wall that held that was 5 amas. So that's a total of 70 amas of width from the entire outside of the building from right to left. Now remember, we had mentioned in the previous Mishnah that the Heichal was 100 by 100 amas, and we just only mentioned 70. So the extra 30 amas is really cheshbened only at the beginning of the building, which we know is called the Ulam. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Ha'ulam oydef al v'chameshesrei amah min hatzofim v'chameshesrei amah min hadarim. The Ulam was jutting out over beyond the Heichal building itself, 15 amas on the right and 15 amas on the left. V'huayin nikra beis ha'chalifas, these two added parts, kind of like the wings of a letter T, inside the Heichal, they were called the Beis HaChalifas. Why? Shesham Gunsmas Sakinim. That's what the Kehanim would put their knives. All their Shechita knives were stored over there. And we know that a Chalif is a Shechita knife, so that's why it's called Beis HaChalifas. And now the Mishnah concludes by explaining why the entire building was shaped like a T. Why wasn't it just a regular rectangle or square? Why was it shaped like this? V'Heichal Tzar Me'achra V'Racham Milfanov. The Heichal was narrow behind and wide in the front. V'Doyme La'ari. It looked like a lion. Even though, yes, you're right, it does look like a T if you look at it from pictures, but if you're able to use your imagination a little bit, it's shaped very much like a lion is. A lion, the front of it is very wide because it has the big mane, and then it has a narrow, slim, slender body behind it. Shemar, how do we know the base of Mikdash is described like this? Because the Pasuk tells us, Hoy Ariel Ariel Kiryas Chana David. Maha Ari Tsar Me'achrov Racham Milfanov. Just like a lion is narrow in the back but wide in the front. Af HaHeichal Sotu the Heichal, which is being called Ariel Lashon Lion. Tsar Me'achrov Racham Milfanov. It's narrow behind and wide in the front. And we're discussing the Heichal here, specifically the Azara. Misha says, Kol Ha Azara Hoysa Erech Me'ushmein V'Sheval Reichav Me'ushlesh V'Chamesh. The entire Azara was 187 long by 135 wide. Now when a Mizrach L'mayrev, from east to west, which again means from front to back, Me'ushman Nusheva, that's 187. Now, of those Amos, here's how it's broken down. Makam Jesus Yisrael Achses Re'amah, where a place where regular Yisraelim were allowed to walk, was the first 11 Amos. They weren't allowed to go past there. Then Makam Jesus Kayhanim Achses Re'amah, the place where Kayhan were allowed to walk for no good reason, if they just wanted to walk around there, that was the next 11 Amos. And a Kayhan was only allowed to go beyond there if he had a Voida to do. Now, HaMizbeach Shlesh Mushtaim, the Mizbeach took up the next 32 Amos. Then Beina Ulam Lamizbeach Asr Mushtaim Amah, in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach was 22 Amos. Then HaHeichal Mei Amah, we know the length of the entire Heichal was 100 Amos. And V'Chasre Amah L'Chor Beis HaKapayres, another 11 Amos behind the Beis HaKapayres, which means behind the Kesh Kedashim, that area over there was 11 Amos for a total of 187. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, continuing to describe the Azara, Min HaTzafon L'Darim, from north to south, which means from right to left, that's the width of the Azara, Me'u Shlash V'Chamesh, that's 135. Now HaKevesh HaMizbeach Shishim Ushtayim, the main feature that took up this entire width was the ramp lamp and Mizbeach. That was a total of 62 amos. Then Min HaMizbeach LaTabayis, from Mizbeach to the rings, which we had described earlier. These were the rings that were set into the floor. They helped hold down a carbon while it was shechted. So 8 amos, that's 8 amos in between the Tabayis. Then Makam Tabayis 24, the place where the Tabayis were, that was 24 amos. Then Min HaTabayis LaShulchanos 4, from the rings up until the tables that were used for cutting and cleaning the carbonis, that was 4 amos. Then Min HaShulchanos LaNasim, from the tables to the Nanasim, which were these short pillars that the carbonis were hung from, that's where they were flayed. 4, that's another 4 amos. Min HaNasim LaKais LaAzara 8 amos. Then from these pillars to the wall of the Azara was 8 amos. And Vamos, the leftover amos that we have here, which is 21, if you were keeping Cheshbon, that's Ben HaKevesh LaKaisel. In between the ramp in the Mizbeach and the wall, that's the southern or the left wall, that's going back all the way there. And also Mekom HaNasim, the place that the short pillars took up, that also counted for the remaining space, and that was basically 10.5 amos each. Rashi Gamal tells us, Sheish L'shachas Hayu BaAzara. There were 6 L'shachas, or 6 chambers in the Azara. These were chambers that we have not yet mentioned. There were other chambers as well, but these we haven't mentioned yet. Shalosh BaTzafon V'shalosh BaDarim. There were 3 in the north, 3 in the south, again, which means 3 on the right side and 3 on the left side. Sheb BaDarim, the ones in the south, the one on the left side. What were they called? Lishkas HaMelech, Lishkas HaParv, and Lishkas HaMedichim. Now explain what they did. Lishkas HaMelech, which literally means the chamber, the room of salt, Shom Hayu Nosim Melech LaKarbon, that's where the salt was stored, for salting not the karbonos, but for salting the oirois, the hides of the karbonos. Then Lishkas HaParva, another lishka, which is right next to it, Shom Hayu Melechim Oiros Kachim, that's where they would actually salt the hide of Kachim, so they would take salt from the room next door, then bring it to Lishkas HaParva, and salt the hides of the karbonos. And Valgaga, on the roof of Lishkas HaParva, Hayu Beis Tefil HaKohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, there was a mikvah over there, which the Kohen Gadol used for the majority of his tevilos on Yom Kippur. Now, just an interesting note regarding the name of Lishkas HaParva. There's a Mechashef, a sorcerer, whose name was Parva, and he built this Lishka through sorcery, so that's why it's called Beis HaParva. Now, the Rav brings the Rambam, who says that who was this fellow? He actually wanted to witness the Kohen Gadol doing Avaida on Yom Kippur, so he tunneled his way in. They found him and killed him, though, and so either which way, this Lishkas HaParva is called by the name of this fellow. And lastly, for these chambers on the left-hand south side, Lishkas HaMedichin, which literally means the Lishka of rinsing or cleaning, Shishamah HaMedichin Kirvei HaKachim, that's how they would rinse out the intestines or the stomachs of Kachim. And the reason why there's a special room for rinsing out the stomach or the intestines is because there's a lot of bile and matter that smells pretty bad, and so it had to have a special room for it, as opposed to washing of the rest of the parts of the Karbonis was able to be done outside in the Azara. Also, Misham, from there, Mesiba Oil L'Gag Beis HaParva, there was a walkway or a staircase that went to the top of Beis HaParva that was right on the outside of Lishkas HaMedichim. Moving on to Mishnah Dalad, the final Mishnah of the Masechta, Shabbat Safain, these 3 chambers that were in the north on the right-hand side, so they were called Lishkas HaEitz, Lishkas HaGaila, and Lishkas HaGazes. Why were they called this Lishkas HaEitz? Amr Blazer Ben Yaakov, he says, Shechachti Mehayo Meshameshes, I forgot what it was used for. However, Abba Shalom, he says, Lishkas Kohen Gadol, it was Lishka for the Kohen Gadol, meaning this is where the Kohen Gadol would live for the whole week before Yom Kippur, as we know from Sechaz Yuma, that he was separated from his wife a week before Yom Kippur to learn all about the Avodah of Yom Kippur, so this is where he lived. That's what Lishkas HaEitz was for. And also, V'yos HaChirish Tehen, it was behind the other two, and V'gag Shlashtan Shaveh, their roofs were all equal. In other words, they were all the same height. The next one was called Lishkas HaGaila, Shom HaYabar Kavua. Here there was a set well, V'hagalgal Nasan Olav, and there was a wheel or a pulley system over it. When Misham speak in Maim L'chol Azara, it was from this well the water was supplied to all the Azara, and the reason why it's called Lishkas HaGaila is because when they came up from Galus Bavel to begin rebuilding the second base of Mikdash, they dug this well on that spot. Now Lishkas HaGazes, what was this? Shom HaYis HaSanhedrin G'dayla Shal Yisrael Yisheves, V'donis HaKahuna, this is where the great Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin of 71, that's where they sat and they judged the Kohanim. In other words, they looked into their lineage to make sure it was free and clear and everything was okay, and they're able to be Kohanim. And we learned a little bit about this process. V'konshinim Sabay P'sol, if they looked into the lineage of a Kohen and they found that it was possible, that there was something wrong with it, Loivish Shchayrim, he would put on black, Masatav Shchayrim, wrapped himself in black, V'yotzev HaLichloi, and he would go out on his way. That was very embarrassing. Now V'sholoinim Sabay P'sol, if no P'sol was found in his lineage, Loivish Levanim, Masatav Levanim, he would wear white and wrap himself in white, and Nichnasu Mishamashim Echav HaKohanim, he would go in and serve with his brothers of Kohanim, and V'yomtev Hayu Oisim, they would make a yomtev, a feast, a festival, Sholoinim Sabsol B'zar Shal Aron HaKohen, that a P'sol wasn't found in the offspring of Aron HaKohen, and V'kach Hayu Oimrim, this is what they would say, Baruch HaMokoyim Baruch Hu, Shaloi Nimtza P'sol B'zar Shal Aron, that a P'sol wasn't found in the Zara of Aron, U'Baruch Hu, blessed is he, Shabachar B'Aron U'Banov, that he chose Aron and his sons, Lamed L'Sharz L'Fnei Hashem, Beis Kach HaKadoshim, to stand and serve in front of Hashem in the Kodesh Kadoshim, Hajon Olach Masechas Midos, Mazel Tov, finishing the entire Masechah together, just like we were going to finish this Masechah together, we should be going to finish all of Shas Mishnayos together. Now, kinim is plural of the word ken, which is usually translated as a bird pair, even though the word is often used to refer to a bird's nest, like a kan tzipor. The word ken in our discussion refers to a pair of birds. Kinim is pairs of birds, and the birds that we're talking about are one of two, either tyrim, which are usually translated as turtle doves, and b'nei yoina, or young pigeons. They're more or less the same type of bird. And what are these birds used for? So they're used for karbanos. Now, a bird can only be one of two types of karbanos, either an oila or chatas. That would be called chatas ha'oif and oilas ha'oif, and there's two different situations that a bird pair, would be brought. Number one would be in a dava. If a person says, I make a neder, I'm going to donate, I'm going to give birds to the Beis HaMikdash as a karban, so that would be a karban oila. Now, there are other situations, which we're going to see, that a person is chayv to bring a ken, a pair of birds. In that situation, one of them is going to be a chatas, the other is an oila. And the majority of this mesechta is referring to situations that are actually kind of complicated of what to do when some birds got mixed up with others and we don't know which ones are which. We have maybe a chatas getting mixed up with other ones or an oila getting mixed up with other ones. Maybe a whole bunch of birds got mixed up with each other and we're not so sure what to do. So that's what a lot of the Mishnahs are going to be describing. The first Mishnah lays the groundwork. Mishnah Aleph tells us, chatas ha'oif nasas lamata, v'chatas behema lamala. There's a lamata and a lamala of the Mizbeach, below and above. And this line of demarcation is called the chut ha'sikra. There was a red line that went around the halfway point of the Mizbeach. Below it was lamata, above it was lamala. And that's what the Mishnah just told us, that a chatas ha'oif, a bird chatas, its avoid was done below the chut ha'sikra, whereas an animal chatas, so it's a chatas, but it's from an animal, which means a four-legged one, so its avoidus hadam, its blood, was done above the chut ha'sikra. Now here we have the reverse. Oilas ha'oif nasas lamala, the oilas behema lamata. A bird oila, that was done above the chut ha'sikra, and an animal oila, that was done below the chut ha'sikra. And im shina bazeh bazeh, pasul. If he changed by one of these karbanis that he did them on the wrong part, it's pasul. And here says the Mishnah, seder kinim kachu. This is the seder, the order, the procedure of kinim, which we said is bird pairs. So hachayva, if a person's bringing it as a chayv, which would be, for example, if a man is a zav, or a woman's a zava, or she's a yeledes, she gave birth, so she has to bring karbanos. Other situations where a person would have to bring a karban for a particular avera, but he can't afford an animal, so he would bring birds. Those are situations of chayva. So echad chatas vechad oila, one of the birds is a chatas, the other is an oila. Whereas benadar and nedavas, whereas a person is bringing it as a neder or a nedava, cool on oilas, then all of them, meaning both birds, are going to be an oila. The mission just clarifies the difference between these two terms that we just mentioned. Ezehu neder, what's a neder? That's how Omer, a person says, harei olai oila. I take upon myself to bring an oila, and then he designates two birds to be that. Vezu nedava, what's a nedava, which is a donation. Ha'omer, that's a person says, harei zu oila. He points to birds and he says, this is an oila. Now, ma'be nedarim nedavais, so what's the practical difference between nedarim nedavais? The answer is, elashan nedarim, mesur nignivu chayam machriusam. Nedarim, if the birds which he had designated either died or were stolen, he's responsible to replace them. That's because, pay attention to his lashon, he said, I take upon myself to bring a karban oila. So now he, the man, the mensch, the gavra, the person, he has to bring a karban, and now he points some birds out. Okay, but if something happens to those birds, he still has the chiv to bring other ones. Whereas in Udavais, when he used the lashon of Udava, mesu nignivu ein chayav machriusan, if they die or get stolen, he's not responsible to replace them, because what was his lashon? He pointed the birds and he said, those are an oila. And that means if something happens to them, well, okay, the ones that are an oila aren't here anymore, so he doesn't have to replace them. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, with our first of many cases of birds getting mixed up with each other. Chatas shenasarva ba'ayla, va'ayla ba'chatas. We have a bird that's a chatas, they got mixed up with an ayla, or a bird that's an ayla, they got mixed up with a chatas, and we have no idea which one is which. Afilu echad b'ribay, even if it's one in 10,000, yamusu kulam, all of them have to be left to die. That's because there's no bittul. We don't say that there's nullification like we find by other things. For example, meat and milk are bottled on each other, one in 60. And we find by chum and chulin, one in 100. Other things we'll find the bittuls, one in 200. But over here, even one in 10,000 is not batal because they are balei chayim, they are alive, and balei chayim are chashivi, they're chashiv, and they're not batal. How we can't bring them as karbanos either, because as we just learned in the previous Mishnah, a oila saif is done above, and a chata saif is done below, and if they're switched, then they're pasul. And since we don't know which one is which, all of them have to be left to die. Now we go on to the next case, but beforehand, we have to add in another piece of information. As we already know, when we have two birds, that's called a ken, a bird pair. However, sometimes there's a difference. If a person had already designated that this bird is the chatas and that bird is the oila, that's called a ken mifureshes. It is a clear, determined, designated ken, We know exactly which bird is what. Or there's another type which is called kenstuma, which means it's undesignated or undefined. That's when he takes two birds, he says, these are kaddish to be used as a karbon, one for chatas, one for ayla, but he doesn't point out which one's the chatas, which one's the ayla, and so it's still up for grabs, it's kind of loose. Later on, he's able to say, you know, this one's the chatas and that one's the ayla. So they have kedusha, they're not just plain regular birds. They have kedusha's karbon, but again, they're a kenstuma, and so it's a little bit looser. And that's what we're referring to over here. Chatas shenas arva b'chayva, a chatas that got mixed up with a kenstuma of chayv, we'll explain this in just a moment. Ein kasher el kamin chatas b'chayva, the only things that are kasher here is the number of chatas that are a chayv. So for example, we have a bird that was a chatas, and it flew into a cage that had four birds. These four birds were two kinim, they're both kenstumas, so two of them are supposed to be an oyla, two of them are supposed to be a chatas. So now we have five birds here. Three of them are supposed to be a chatas, only two of them are supposed to be an oyla. How many of them are allowed to be brought? That's what the Mishnah just said. The number of chatas of chayv. And since we had two kinim over here, so two of those birds that were sasom are supposed to be a chatas, that's the only number of birds that we're allowed to bring. Only two of them. Because again, we know of this kenstuma, two of these birds are for sure supposed to be a chatas. The reason why a third bird is not allowed to be brought as a chatas, even though there's three chatas floating around here, is because maybe that bird that's being taken as a third chatas really is one of the oilos of the kenstuma. And therefore, at maximum, two of these birds can be brought as a chatas. It's the same thing says the Mishnah of Achein, oilos and Sarva b'chayva. If a oilah gets mixed up with these kinim, in kasher el kamin oilosha b'chayva, the only number of oilos that would be allowed to be brought is the amount of chayv that are supposed to be. So it'd be the mirror case that we just had with a chatas, just with oilah, so only two birds were allowed to be brought as a oilah. The Mishnah further clarifies, it doesn't make a difference if there's more chayv birds here and fewer nedava birds, or more nedava birds here and less chayv birds here, or if it's both equal, it doesn't make a difference. The number of birds that are allowed to be brought are the number of chayv birds that are over here. So if it was a chatas that had flown in, it's the number of chatas chayva. If it was oil that had flown in, it's the number of oilas chayv. And the Mishnah begins by medvar murim. When was this said? B'chayv b'mendava with chayv b'mendava. Let's just remind ourselves, in the previous Mishnah we discussed kinim getting mixed up with each other, and let's remember that a ken is a bird pair, kinim are bird pairs. And the situation we discussed before was where one bird that was designated either as a oila or a chatas got mixed up with another bird pair or other bird pairs, and the Mishnah said that the maximum number of birds that are allowed to be brought are the amount there which are a chayv. So for example, let's say one bird which was an oila got mixed up with two bird pairs, means we have two oilas and two chatas over here, only two of those birds are allowed to be brought. Anything more than that runs the risk of a non-oila bird being brought, rather a chatas, and so that would be an issue. And so what this Mishnah just began with is clarifying that that's when we have chayv and nedava. Aval, however, continues the Mishnah, b'chayv ashen esar v'zu v'zu, when we have bird pairs of just chayv that get mixed up with each other, achas azoy, one for this, one for that, shtan lozoy, two for this, two for that, shalash azoy, v'shalash azoy, three for this, three for that, mechza kasher, mechza pasal, half is kasher, half is pasal. So let's say, for example, taking the middle case where we have two for this one, two for that one. And the simplest explanation would be, let's say we have two women, Rachel and Leah. Rachel has two bird pairs, Leah has two bird pairs, so that's a total of four birds from each woman. They all get mixed up with each other, so now we have eight birds flying around this cage, and we don't know which ones are Rachel's, which ones are Leah's, so we're only able to be makriv half of them. So we're going to take four out of the cage, and then furthermore, we're going to have to split them. Two are going to be a chatas, two are going to be an oila. And the reason why that has to be is because it's very possible that all four of these birds that we have here are Rachel's. There's also a possibility that some of them are Rachel's and some of them are Leah's. Furthermore, the reason why we could only bring half as oilas and half as chatos is because if we bring any more than half as a chatos or any more than half as a oila, it's very possible that's not what those birds are. Maybe we're bringing the wrong thing. Therefore, again, maximum, we could bring half of the birds that are mixed up, and half of those have to be an oila, the other half have to be a chatos. So further says, it's not just if it's one for this one for that one, or two for this one, two for that one. Achaz lozoi, shtayim lozoi, shalosh lozoi, esr lozoi, mei lozoi. It could be that it's one that got mixed up with the two, or two and three, or three and ten, or ten and 100. The bottom line is still the same, hamuat kasher. The minimum amount is kasher, meaning, let's say, one woman had 10 bird pairs, and the other had 100, so the maximum we're allowed to take out of here is 10 bird pairs, and again, bring half of those chatas and half of those in oila. And further clarification is, bein mishem echad, bein mishnei shemais, bein meisha achas, bein mishtei nashem, whether this is one shem or two shemais, meaning one type or two types of chiyuvim, or it could be from one woman or two separate women. We further clarify this with Mishnah Dalid, ketsa mishem echad, what does that mean? One shem, one type. So this would be leida v'leida, ziva v'ziva. It could be we have two bird pairs, both coming from the same woman, woman, both being for the same chiyuv, one leida, another leida, meaning one birth and another birth, or ziva and ziva, two different times that she was a zava. This is both considered mishem echad, one type, one chiyuv, and the reason why we're not able to bring all of them is because it was for two different leidas, or for two different zivas. Further explaining, mishnei shemos, what does that mean? Two types of chiyuvim, so leida v'ziva. It could be the same woman bringing these pairs, but one of them is for a leida, one of them is for a ziva. Now, kitzad shtei nashim, what about two women? So alzu leida v'alzu leida, alzu ziva v'alzu ziva. It could be that both women are bringing kinim for a birth or for a ziva, and that would be mishem echad. It's the same chiyuv, but again, it's two different women. Or mishnei shemos, it could be two different chiyuvim, alzu leida v'alzu ziva. One of these women is bringing this for a leida, and the other one is bringing it for a ziva. In all situations, it's still the same, like we learned in the previous mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Amar, he brings up an interesting case where there wouldn't be an issue. Shtei nashim shlakhu kinim be'erov. We have two women that they bought their bird pairs together, meaning as opposed to all the cases we've been talking about previously, where Rachel, she went and she bought her own birds, and then Leah went separately and she bought different birds, and then those birds got mixed up with each other. We're basically saying, let's say Rachel and Leah took their money, put it together, so we have $2, then they went and they bought two pairs of birds together, $1 a pair, pretty cheap, good price, but everything here is all together, it's all pooled. That means, in essence, that all four birds here are technically considered to be belonging to both Rachel and Leah. Alternatively, a similar case would be, Shenasnu Dmei Kinein LaKayin, they just simply gave their money to the Kayin, and the Kayin was the one that bought the birds for them. So in both these situations, La'eza Shiyotza Kayin Yakov Chatos, La'eza Shiyotza Kayin Yakov Oila, Bein Mishem Echad, Bein Mishnei Shemais, the Kayin can bring whatever bird he wants as the Chatos, and whatever bird he wants as the Oila, and that's whether it's for one Chiyuv or two Chiyuvim, it could be for Leida and for Ziva, no problem, and that's because, again, none of these birds here have an official designation of belonging to one particular woman, so it's up to the Kayin's discretion what to use it for. And we can discuss in cases of birds that got mixed up. The Mishnah tells us, Ken Stuma Shaparchu Mena Gazal Avir. We have a Ken Stuma that one of the birds flew out into the air, it ran away, it flew away, never to see it again. Now let's just remind ourselves that Ken Stuma is a pair of birds that's designated to be karbanos. However, there hasn't yet been a particular bird that's been singled out to either be the Oila or the Chatos. We have two birds, one of them's an Oila, one of them's a Chatos, but we haven't yet decided which one was which. And that makes it much looser and kind of easier to deal with issues that might arise. So here we have our Ken Stuma, and one of the birds flew away, or one of these birds flew among other birds that have to be left to die for one reason or another, or one of these birds ended up dying, so there's just one bird left all by himself, no problem, just take a mate, take another one for the second one that was left over, and there's no issue. And again, since it's a Ken Stuma, and none of them were designated yet to be a particular carbon, so one bird flew away, that's fine, just bring another bird. Now once again, we have two birds, and one of them will be the Chatas, one of them will be the Oila, no issue. Now what about the following? Parchla ben hakrevais. If one of those birds flew among other birds that need to be brought as karbanos, pasul, so then one of them is pasul, upaisal echad kenegdai, and it also pasuls one corresponding to it. Let's just finish the Mishnah, and we'll further clarify. Shagoizel pireach pasul, upaisal echad kenegdai, because a young bird that flies away will pasul, and will also pasul one corresponding to it. Now let's try to explain this as simply as possible, because we're going to be seeing more complicated cases in the next two Mishnayos. As long as we have the core basic understanding down clearly, we'll be able to understand all the other situations. So general idea is as follows. Let's say we have two kinim, two bird pairs, one here, one there. And again, these are ken stumas, so one of them is a chatos, the other is an oila. And a bird flew from one pair into the other. So now we have three birds on one side, one bird on the other side. Here's where the challenge is. Let's say the single bird that's remaining on the right side is brought as a karbon first, and the kohen decides to bring it as a chatos. So that means that the bird which had flown to the left side needs to be an oila. The problem is, we don't know which bird that bird is supposed to be. So you can't say that of these three birds on the left-hand side, two should be brought as oilas and one should be brought as a chatos, because it's possible that the one that you're bringing as a chatos really is that bird that has flown from the right-hand side and it's supposed to be an oila. So that's issue number one, and the issue is reversed the other way around as well. Let's say we first go to the three birds on the left-hand side, and the kohen decides to bring two of them, a chatos and an oila, so there's one bird remaining. Now let's say of these two birds that he just brought, again the chatos and the oila, actually one of them, we'll call it the oila, was really the bird that had flown from the right-hand side. That means means that its pair, the one that's sitting there all lonely on the right-hand side, is now automatically considered a chatas, because its pair was just brought as an ayla, so now it has to be brought as a chatas. But we obviously can't know that, because we don't know which bird is which. And so because of this, whenever we have this situation where we have a ken stuma here and a ken stuma there, and one bird flies from one into the other, one of the birds on this side and one of the birds on the other side, our puzzle are not able to be brought, because we can never know what those birds are considered. And that's what the Mishnah means by saying gozla pireach puzzle, the one which had flown over is puzzle. In other words, the group of birds that just had a brand new bird enter it, one of those birds is not allowed to be brought, and paisel echad kenegdoi, that puzzle's one corresponding to it, namely the group of birds that this bird just came from, one of those birds is also puzzle. As now moving on to Mishnah Beis with more detailed and complicated cases. Ketzad, what's the situation? So let's say shtei nashim, we have two women. Each one has two kinim, each one has two bird pairs, which means that there's four birds on this side and four birds on that side. Park mizulazu, if a bird flies from one to the other, so now there's three birds here, five birds there. That puzzle's one in its going, which means in the group of five, one of those is puzzle and can't be brought. And by the same token, there's also a bird in the original group that now only has three that's not allowed to be brought. Now we add a layer to this. Chazar, if now a bird flies back from group two to group one, that puzzle's yet another one. Because now that a bird flew from group two back to group one, well, we don't know which bird it is. It's not necessarily the original bird that's now just flying back. It could be it's a totally different bird that decided to fly to the other group. Now we have to puzzle yet another set of birds. Now that group one just got a new visitor to their group. So we have to puzzle a bird from group one, and then we have to puzzle another bird from group two, because that's how it works. Every time a bird leaves a group and goes to a different one, one is puzzle here, one is puzzle there. So it turns out that both group one and group two have two birds in them that are puzzle. The mission continues, parchal chazar, if this happened yet another time, one bird flew from group one to group two, and then another bird flew from group two to group one, actually in this situation, loihifsid klom, nothing is lost out. Why is that? Shafilohin muravais, that's because even if they're completely mixed with each other, in bachas mishtayim, not less than two are going to end up being brought. In other words, all eight birds and mush them all together, so we have no idea which birds belong to which women. There's always going to be two birds from each pair, which means four of these birds are always going to be able to be brought, because remember, since we started out with two kinim from each woman, so that's four birds per woman, that's two chatois and two oilois per woman, so that means that even if all these birds got mixed up with each other, we're still able to bring two birds as a chatos oila for this woman, and two birds as a chatos and oila for that woman, and that's not going to run us into any issues, because at worst, or at best, however you want to look at it, all four of these birds really belong to the same woman, and so that's fine. One woman had all of her four birds brought. And if not, if all four don't belong to one woman, so matayv manayim, some belong to this one, some belong to that one, and so either which way, everything's taken care of. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Gimel, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.